How are we doing? Notice the last time I did announcements, you know, it was on a Sunday morning, and, you know, there was some additions too at the end, you know. We had a few hands raised, so John has made sure that he does not miss a thing this evening. So glad you're here. What an exciting Sunday. What an action-packed Sunday from start to finish. Very, very grateful for what God's doing in this church. Very, very grateful and humbled to be a part of it. I know that you guys as a church have had some difficult years, some years where you probably questioned, does God remember us? Has God forgotten us? But I think your prayers have not been in vain. They have not been empty lofts up to a God who's not been listening, but it's been to a very caring and loving God who's been listening. And so I hope you're encouraged to know just from all that has transpired and culminated in today that God does care for his people. God does remember his people. And that includes you. So a couple of quick announcements. First impressions, training went well this afternoon. Shout out Ashley Siddle for dedicating even the afternoon on his 7th wedding anniversary to lead us. So very, very grateful for that sacrifice and even Tiffany's sacrifice on that end. We had a ton of participation. If you're even interested, want to know more, weren't at the training, please come chat with us, and we'd love to get you in the mix and get you in the loop. Big thing, date night fundraiser for the student ministry, Friday, November 17th. There's a huge age range of, I think, some parents and some marriages that could be ministered to that evening with a good date. And so drop your kids off, and we'll take care of them, and you guys go level one another. And enjoy a meal together. If you're a Sunday school class who would be interested in even potentially sponsoring, contributing some cost to some students that move, please can contact me. I encourage you. You guys are a generous church. You're very loving people. And I think I'd love to give you the opportunity to give opportunities for these students that they may not be able to have if it weren't for your generosity. Christmas backpacks, we got a few left. There's more details about that. Know that there's no fruit or vegetables in plastic containers due to leakage, so we want to put some of the items that are actually in the instructions in those backpacks. We need to have those in by November 19th. Wednesday night prayer meeting will be in the Friendship classroom for the next several weeks. We will keep you updated as to when that will change back. Any information about preparing for the Christmas musical is in the bulletin. There's several dates there for you. If there's anything else. Soup and cornbread on the 19th. And it is going to be a good time. Thank you, Diane. And Women on Mission tomorrow evening. We have got a lot going on, y'all. So, if there is anything else, I leave it to your discretion now to communicate that. Awesome. Love y'all so much. So grateful for each of you. Let's pray and we give worship. Father, thank you for this day. God, thank you for your provision. God, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your grace. God, thank you for your word. And God, thank you for your people. God, we're brothers and sisters. So grateful to fellowship with one another. God, I'm grateful to be here with these people. So God, would you just be with us in this time, teach us from your word, convict us, Lord, and stir our hearts to obedience. God, we're joyful and grateful, and God, you use gratitude in our hearts and joy in our hearts to serve you. And so God, would you just help us to see that in Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening, I'm really glad that you're here. It has been a sweet day in the house of the Lord. It has been a sweet day. As sweet as it has been, I still look forward to another day. And we're going to sing that song, Hymn of Heaven, to start out this evening. I'm going to sing that first verse. I want you to sing with me. I want you to sing with me. And if I get emotional, somebody else jump in on the mic, okay? Because it's all over me all of a sudden that we're going to be with the Lord one day. And it'll be sweeter than it was today. Y'all stand and let's sing. How I long
to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. Be no more.
We worship the God who is. We worship.
worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise.
Sing with us.
We sing to the God who hears. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause He hung up on that cross, then He rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
'Cause we were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, and now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. 'Cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. 'Cause we are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We'll shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
Forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You were condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it. and it's my joy to honor you.
Amazing love, how can it be
that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
I'm forgiven.
I'm accepted. You work undimmed. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, that it's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King.
God, is truly indeed a joy to honor you. God, it's been a great day in the life of our church. God, we thank you for sending us Philip today. God, thank you for the tremendous asset that he's going to be working alongside Brandon and John. We thank you so much for that. God, thank you for the determination of the search committee. Thank you for their time. Thank you for giving them patience to wait on your perfect timing. God, we pray now that you would speak to us. Give us the words you would have us to hear. And God, pray that you would find us faithful. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Miss Dottie. Well, as you're opening up to Acts chapter 16, I have a couple thoughts I want to share. So Acts chapter 16, y'all start turning while I'm talking. We'll try to multitask. I'm not very good at it either, so if you don't get there, don't worry. We'll get there eventually. Just want to say, on behalf of our church, there's a time in our lives where we look back on something and we go, those were such sweet times. I wish I had cherished them more. If I can just share this personally, and I believe in the life of our church, what a sweet season of life this is. Don't take this time for granted. Let's cherish this time we have. We're fully staffed for the first time in a long time. Our music minister search committee, while it seems like they've only been meeting since I got here, they actually met for a long, long time, then stopped until I got here, and then resumed again. I mean, we are talking years of this process. And so there's a big relief, but there's also a big expectation. In the midst of all of this, though, how good is God to provide us faithful leaders to fill in the gaps and serve? Carla, Julian, Miriam, Dottie, everyone who works with the tech and sound and live stream, the choir. I mean, there are tons and tons of people who have served and have helped fill in the gaps. And now, what a blessing. You get to serve without being the head of it. I mean, what a great thing it is to do the same thing you were doing but not have all the responsibility. Am I right? Praise God. I just want to say one more thing. And again, the last thing I want tonight to be is about anything other than Jesus Christ. But I also don't want time to go by without honoring those who are due honor. One of the things I love about Carla and this role she served, I was just telling this to Miss Jane. There's not a single Sunday I come in here and worry about what's going to happen. Everything is taken care of, and I know that I can come in here and focus on loving on people and preaching, and what a gift that is. I don't have to worry about making sure the slides are in or doing all this, and there's a lot of things that go into that, but God's been good. I told Carla one thing, two things really, when I got here. I want our worship to be biblically accurate, and I want it to be genuine. And how sweet we've had a season of both. So thank you for that. Thank you, God, for giving us the people of this church. So I know we're going to look at tonight and go, man, what a great Sunday morning. I hope God moves in the same way tonight. Well, I don't know about you, but the God I serve is unchanging, which means that if he was present and moved powerfully this morning, my expectations are just as high, if not higher, because I've seen him do it once, and I'm ready to see him do it again. So one of the things that happened this morning, and even last week, I got several calls, conversations, pastor, preacher, Brother Brandon, you know, people call me all sorts of things. Brother Brandon, there was just something different in the air last week. Maybe you felt that way. I felt that way today, too. I think the reality of it is that God has been preparing our hearts for this. And so let's continue to expect God to move in a powerful way. Okay, I kept you till like 12:30 this morning. Let's take it a little easier tonight, deal? Okay, Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 34. I want to thank Brother John for preaching 2 weeks last month for me, and then we had fifth Sunday service. What a nice 3 weeks of Sunday nights just getting to sit back and be poured into. We're going to start in verse 25, read through 34, and then pray, and then dig back into the scripture, okay? Acts chapter 16, verse 25, you can follow along on the screen, or you can pull the Bible out in front of you and follow along. It's the same translation I'm reading from, which is the CSB, or Christian Standard Bible. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword and was going to kill himself, since he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out in a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, because we're all here." the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He escorted them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him along with everyone in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. Right away, he and all his family were baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Lord, thank you for just a fantastic day. Lord, the sweetest part about today was that we heard from you. Lord, I pray that we would never take for granted this opportunity to gather. I pray that we would never take for granted the opportunity to hear your word. And I pray that we would never take for granted the opportunity to sing songs of praise to you. Lord, as we sang, there's joy in the house of the Lord because our amazing King died for us. Who are we that you would die for us? And yet here we are because you have. Lord, we give tonight to you. We pray that you would speak to us. Lord, whatever it is you have to do, whatever it is you have to say, please, Lord, have your way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, verse 25. Let's go back and see it. So it's about midnight. Again, Paul and Silas have been imprisoned. Why? Because they're sharing the gospel. Those darn faithful believers sharing the gospel again, they imprisoned them. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So here's the scene. Again, I did this a couple Wednesday nights ago in prayer meeting. I had everyone close their eyes, and I said, as I read this scripture, I just want you to envision, get those creative juices flowing, and just imagine what you're seeing in your head when this happens. We did this about Peter walking on the water. I believe that's what it was, right? Can someone verify? Good, good, good. Tonight, I just want you to think about this. You don't have to close your eyes, but just get that creativity going, the imagination going. Here's the scene. It's after midnight. It's dark. They're in prison. Paul and Silas are singing and praying. And the prisoners are listening to them. Why are the prisoners listening to them? There's nothing else to do. It's midnight. You know, I don't imagine they smuggled any iPhones in there. I mean, it's... No, let me not get there. There's nothing else to do. That's all they have. And so Paul and Silas, now here's what's really interesting. If you were imprisoned, I mean, this is pretty fresh into their imprisonment too. I mean, it's not like they've been there a while and kind of come to terms of where they are and now they're singing songs. Like, they just got arrested. They're in there and they're singing and praying. There's definitely a sense of contentment, peace about their circumstance, right? Paul is going to write in Philippians, "I have learned to be content. I've learned the secret of contentment." Paul and Silas are singing songs and praying in their imprisonment. And what we're going to find is that this is going to lead to something great. Sorry, I lost my place. Verse 26. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains came loose. This is point number one tonight. Everyone's chains came loose. Now listen, I love songs that use scripture. I even love some songs that pull scripture out of context. You know, I love the heart of it. What are we talking about when we say chains come loose? We're not talking about burdens or sins or anything like that. In this context, it is literally their shackles fell off. I mean, aside from the violent earthquake, you're hearing this stuff hit the ground, right? It's not just some mental or spiritual burden. It is a physical imprisonment, and their chains are falling to the ground. But do you notice what happened prior to the chains falling to the ground? Well, you're looking at this and you're going, well, yeah, it was an earthquake. There's actually a spiritual enlightenment before there's a physical enlightenment. What do I mean by this? Well, they're praying and they're singing songs and everyone's listening. Everyone's listening to these two other prisoners pray to God. Now, listen, we aren't privy to the prayers of Paul and Silas. We aren't even privy to the songs they were singing, right? I doubt they were singing Break Every Chain, but they might have been. We don't know what they were saying. But let me ask you this. Have you ever heard someone else pray? The answer is yes. You just heard me do it a moment ago. When you hear someone pray, you find out a couple things about the God they're praying to, right? I mean, if I am praying to God and I'm thanking him for his mercies that are new every single morning, what does that tell you about the God I'm praying to? He's merciful. If I am praying, God, would you please remove these chains? What is that telling you? The God I'm praying to is powerful enough to remove these chains if he so wished. There is education happening in this prison. Now, this is looking into the text. I'm very aware of that. This is using some liberty and saying this. But can you really tell me I'm wrong there? I mean, can you tell me that we don't learn about who God is by the prayers we voice? By the way, let this be a note to us. When people hear us pray, let's be mindful about what we're praying about, right? Let's not pray as if we're praying to some genie who's going to grant us wishes, but we are praying to the God who saves, the God of all creation. Everyone's chains came loose. Verse 27. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword and was going to kill himself since he thought the prisoners had escaped. Let's talk about this for a moment, okay? The Bible, very serious here, the Bible does not approve of self-harm or suicide. Not anywhere in Scripture will you find that. You will find people who committed suicide within Scripture. Just because the Bible talks about a topic doesn't mean it condones that topic. We talked about this with slavery this morning, right? Just because the Bible's talking about, and this is another thing, it's a little bit of a tangent, but just follow with me. How good is God to include all the ugly stuff in Scripture so that we can see it? How good is God to include all the stories of people who didn't obey him so that we can see it? And to see these ugly stories so that we know, hey, you know, these people struggled just like us. These were bad times just like us. Why did the prisoner want to kill himself? Because the wrath he was going to face for letting these prisoners loose was way worse. I mean, he was going to be tortured. I'm not telling you to do this. If you've studied at all, torture devices, specifically Roman torture devices, the one we know the most is the cross. It's brutal. I mean, it will make you beg for death, right? I mean, that's the whole point. It's brutal. It's evil. It's rough. And so this man draws his sword and he goes, I got to take my own life. It certainly is going to be better than what's coming for me. Verse 28. But Paul called out in a loud voice, don't harm yourself because we're all here. Here's point number two tonight. Don't harm yourself because we're all here. I want to make a couple comments on this. One's going to be out of context of Scripture, and one's going to be in context of Scripture, okay? So here's the one out of context of Scripture. Don't harm yourself because we're all here. I know that there's so much about the mental psyche we don't understand, and there's so much about chemical imbalance we don't understand, and there's so much we are slowly learning about how depraved our minds truly are. But we are all here. So let me say this. If you ever think about harming yourself, don't. We are all here. We are all together. And if the church, listen to me, if the church cannot be a safe place for us to share burdens with one another, where is? If people are afraid to talk about what they might do to themselves or harm themselves because they're afraid of what people in their church might think, then we have now ripped this place of its bones, which should be a place for all who are broken to come find their rest, has become worthless. Don't harm yourself because we're all here. Here's what's in context. Paul, after a violent earthquake, after the chains have fallen, he didn't run away. He didn't run for his freedom. Neither did the other prisoners. The other prisoners are still there. Their shackles are on the ground. I mean, it's like having a dog in a cage, opening the cage, and they're not leaving the cage. I mean, that would be crazy. I open up my front door, and my dog's like, see ya. These prisoners, in the midst of, again, visualize this with me, in the midst of a violent earthquake, they were just singing songs and praying. And now this prison guard is going to take his own life. Paul notices this and says, don't harm yourself. We're all here. No one has left. You have not failed in your role. How amazing. You know, sometimes we just read the Bible and we see a little detail and we go, okay, whatever. It is amazing that God gave Paul the wherewithal, the awareness to go, this prison guard, who, by the way, God loves enough to send his son to die for his sins, is about to take his own life. Paul, stop him. How amazing is that? That this one man in this one prison, after a violent earthquake, it's not like his life is just disposable, just throw it away. He stops him. In just one simple verse, we see the love God has for people demonstrated. Don't harm yourself because we're all here. Verse 29. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He escorted them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Why is the jailer escorting Paul and Silas out? I can't genuinely give you an answer that I go, this is 100% true. So I'm going to give you my opinion, okay? Take this for what it's worth. It's my opinion. My opinion is the jailer saw they were in prison for sharing this gospel, which we were saying is false. There must be some truth to it. So these men aren't deserving of being here. That's my opinion. Can't verify that. You won't be able to verify it either. There it is. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31. They said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Let's talk about this for a minute. Because we don't necessarily believe this. Okay? So if I talk to a man in the room and I led him to Christ, we wouldn't just say your entire family's saved, right? We would say it's an individual choice. It's on the individual. There's a couple things at play here. One, remember, the early church is forming its theology. We are learning and growing. I'm not saying the scripture's wrong. Don't hear that. The other thing is there is this incredible underlying tone that when a man professed a belief, the rest of the family would follow. And we actually have proof for this today. Do you know that there's research that shows that when a man accepts Christ, 95% of the time his family follows? It's almost a guarantee that a family will follow the male head of the family. It's almost as if God has placed the man in the family to be the spiritual authority, like in Colossians. Will God move and work in families where that's not the case? Of course. Here's the percentages. Here's how they break down. When the father or husband accepts Christ, 95% of the time his family will follow Christ with him. When the mother or wife does, 17%. That's a significant drop. When one of the children accepts Christ first, there's only a 3% chance that the rest of the family will follow Christ. I was that child in my family who accepted Christ first. I got to lead my grandma to the Lord. I got to lead my mom to the Lord. That's not on me. I'm saying God is gracious to still move in spite of. But how much greater does God work when the man leads how he's supposed to? So here we are. We're in this conversation with the jailer. He's just escorted Paul and Silas out. The other prisoners, who knows what they're doing, but they're apparently still in their cells. He says, what must I do to be saved? And they say, believe in Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. There is heavy implication that if he accepts Christ, his household will too. So there's a couple different things going on there. Again, we can't give like this solid answer. Faith is individualistic. We wouldn't say you're saved because your parents are saved. But if your parents are saved, there's probably a pretty good chance you also believe in Christ. Verse 32. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him along with everyone in his house. Here it is. He escorted them, not just out of the jail, to his house. These were prisoners 5 minutes ago, or however long the journey is from the jail to his home, probably not that far. Now, these two are in the home, and they are sharing the same thing they already shared with him. Verse 33. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. Right away, he and all his family were baptized. Baptism is not pivotal for salvation. Baptism is pivotal for obedience to God. If you have accepted Christ and you have not been baptized, that's going to sound harsh, but it's reality, you are being disobedient to God. If you have accepted Christ but not followed through with baptism, you are not following what God has told us to do. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. It just means that your walk in Christ is off to a really bad start. Verse 34. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household. Here's point number three tonight. He rejoiced because he had come to believe in God. If you're a stickler on notes, you'll notice that this isn't verbatim what's in the text. I'm really sorry, it didn't flow smoothly. Just didn't, I couldn't take a part of it, you know, and I didn't want it to be three lines long. It was all good. But he rejoiced because he had come to believe in God. How amazing is it that this scenario, now keep this in mind, Paul and Silas, beginning of this passage that we preached through tonight, good situation or bad situation? Terrible. They're in prison. While they're in prison, violent earthquake. Terrible, terrible situation. I mean, life is just a mess. I don't know about you, but if, you know, like if my shoe doesn't feel right on my foot, it's like a disaster to start my day. And here we are in this incredibly chaotic and stressful and just downright awful situation. Imprisoned, violent earthquake within the prison. And in spite of that, they were faithful to share the gospel. And not only that, God was drawing others to himself in the midst of that process. We have no idea how in the midst of our chaotic, troubled lives, God is going to be drawing others toward us and drawing us to have the opportunity to share others the love of Christ. And what we share is a simple, simple message. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. You don't have to be the most well-spoken person in a room to share Jesus with someone. I guarantee you at the age of 16, when I shared Jesus with my family, there was nothing eloquent coming out of this mouth. I mean, imagine a 16-year-old boy trying to articulate his faith. It wasn't very good. But God still moved. How amazing is it that when our heart is genuinely interested in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with someone, it doesn't matter how much we feel we blew it, God moves. Because where God's word speaks, God speaks. So here's the challenge tonight, church, as we close. This is a really personal challenge, okay? This is not an easy challenge. This is a challenge that's going to make you go, I don't want to do that. If you have people in your family who don't believe in Jesus, are you willing to share Jesus with them? If your entire kind of nuclear family has already believed in Christ, are you willing to share with extended family? If your entire extended family has accepted Christ, unlikely, but maybe, are you willing to share Christ with whoever you have the opportunity to? In my experience, the hardest people to share the love of Christ with are the people that are closest to me. Isn't that weird? But it's because I know that if they say something that hurts my feelings or deny Christ or this or that, I have to talk to them again. If it's a stranger, it's like, well, if you deny or you say something harsh toward me, I mean, where are the odds I'm going to see a Parker's again? Here in Glenville, probably pretty good, but somewhere else, not a chance. Are you willing to share Christ with your household? This kind of goes back to this morning. Men, if you're the head of your household, and I sure hope you are you willing to lead your household to the Lord? Women, if you're like my mom and you had to be the leader of the house, are you willing to lead your house to the Lord? Children, and I really do mean this, children, if your parents aren't leading you to Jesus, be willing to be the one that leads your family to Jesus. You never know how God's going to work in your family's life because of your obedience. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your God, I can't even fathom your mercy toward us. I can't even fathom how you have, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of destruction, in the midst of imprisonment and earthquake and all these things, you still moved. And even more than that, your disciples were willing to still share in the midst of their chaotic situation. Lord, I crave a faith like that. Father, I pray that however you want to use us, we'd be willing to do. And Lord, whatever we have to go through in this life, if it means that others will hear about your Son, Jesus Christ, let it happen, Lord. I won't say we're ready, but as long as you're with me, we're good. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand and sing with us. Come as you are.
Of sadness from wherever you've been. Come broken hearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal.
Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home, you're not far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are.
Lay down your
burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, as you are.
Come as you are.
Church, thank you so much for being here tonight. In a moment, Brother John's going to close us in prayer. That's always spontaneous, by the way. I mean, I'm sure he expects it at this point, but I just love hearing you pray. That's all it is, brother. In a moment, we're going to close. I hope you have a fantastic week. If there's ever anything you need, please call us here at the church office. We'd be glad to pray with you, talk with you, whatever it is. Just as a reminder, there's tons and tons and tons of activities going on in the life of our church. Our minister of announcements, John Roberts, made that very clear. So make sure that if you think, I'm just not sure I have everything in order, you probably don't. Check the newsletter and make sure that you have all the information. Our secretary, Melissa Golden, does a great job of putting that all together in an easy-to-read format, as best she can with all the information she's given. So make sure you look into that, and we'll close in prayer. John, if you come.
Everything he said. WNUMU tomorrow night, prayer meeting in the Friendship Classroom. The backpacks, soup and cornbread. Date night, Friday, November 17th. There's some things going on, church. And I hope I remembered Unbear Clicker right there. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for who you are. Father, thank you for the joy that you give us. God, thank you for your word. God, there was such an impactful thing when your people sang your praises. God, it brought someone from death to life. So God, would you just help us to see in the circles of influence in our lives, God, how our praise and worship and dependence and faithfulness to you, God, you'll use to bring people from death to life. God, would you give us boldness? God, we do not have boldness and courage and clarity without your Spirit speaking through us. So God, would you give your people boldness, courage, clarity to proclaim your word to those who do not know you. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church. See y'all.
Not used to it.
That's what we do.